Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee, your tea, your water, and sit back and let's talk today mainly about human design, although I have to talk about astrology as well. And let's see, good morning to Suzanne, good morning to Roseanne, and that's all I can see at the moment. But as other people join us, we will certainly welcome them and say good morning. So I want you to see something. This is my notes about what to talk about today. So we have a lot to get to. So let's do it. Today, I'm going to take us through a different sort of process than I normally go through. Normally, I'm looking at the moon and looking at the different aspects that are going on from astrology. But today, I'm going to take us into what it looks like in the human design week. Good morning, Mimi. Good to see you out there. Today is the first day of the Human Design Week. And you know, before I've said that the Human Design Week does not run the same way as our regular week does. In fact, this particular week begins today, which is a Thursday, and runs through next Monday. And the new week again starts on Tuesday. So the reason I really want to emphasize this for you all today is because it occurred to me that this beginning energy is going to take us through the beginning process of Uranus moving into Taurus. And so I wanted to look at what the energies were that are building. And then, of course, next week, because the energy of Uranus moving into Taurus happens technically in the next week's Human Design Week, we'll take a look again at what that means for us next week. So good morning, Londa, and good morning, Marlene. Good to see you ladies out there this morning. So let's just jump in really quickly with the void of course moon, because we like to tell you about that, because why? The action gets dropped down a level. It's not a good time to start anything new while we have the void of course moon. And this particular void of course is tomorrow morning. It's very short, not as short as some of the ones we've had lately. But the void of course moon begins at 2:03 a.m. for those of you on the East Coast, and ends at 5:41 a.m. when the moon moves out of Pisces and into Aries. This is just heads up. I don't think it's going to affect many of us, except those of us on the West Coast. This is happening at 5:03 a.m. to 8:41 a.m. So actually, tomorrow morning, I will be broadcasting the morning show a half an hour early. Remember, 7:30 a.m. my time, 10:30 a.m. your time. I lied. Can I back that up? Boop, boop, boop. I did it in reverse order. 5:03 a.m. to 8:41 a.m. for you all on the East Coast, duh. 2:03 a.m. to 5:41 a.m. for us on the West Coast. I have my Mercury mind upside down. Actually, normally I write these in East Coast, West Coast times. That way I read them correctly. But today I wrote them in reverse because I was using a different source for the void of course moon. So duh, you got me, stinger. So anyway, most of what I was saying is that it's very short. And for those of you on the East Coast, then it may be harder for you to get up and get at them tomorrow morning just because the moon is void, of course, maybe having a little slower start to your day. For those of us on the West Coast, we're probably still sleeping unless you get up rather early in the morning, in which case you may feel the effects of a slower start to your day. So anyway, by the time I do get on air with you tomorrow, we'll be done with the void, of course, moon. All right, today the moon is still in Pisces, and we still have that energy then where we're dealing with compassion, we're dealing with interconnectedness, psychic energy, ahas coming from our connection to our higher self. And I've got to share something rather interesting with you. Yesterday, remember I pulled the card, I think it said orphaned. And I remember I said I didn't want that card. I wanted to find a different card because I, in my mind, didn't think it fit with anything that I was talking to you about. So this is how funny sometimes the universe works. So I get that card. I tell you about it. I decide to do it because I couldn't get another card to come out of the deck. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna have to share this. So I get done with you yesterday morning. And the next step that I take every day after we're done is I go into Facebook and I reply to your comments and I make my own comments. And while I'm downloading the videos so that I can upload the video to YouTube, crazy process. It takes me about an hour or so, but that's what I do every day. And the night before, my sister-in-law had said, Janet, I uploaded some pictures to the family Facebook page and I want you to go take a look at them. And I was in the middle of doing something and I just thought, okay, well, I'll do it tomorrow morning. So while I was waiting for the video to download, I went to that page and I was looking at these pictures of family at Christmas or gatherings and things like that. And I felt such a pang, such a sadness, because I'm not in those pictures. I'm not in those pictures. One reason was I wasn't born yet. But second reason is this is a part of my family that I didn't know about until just earlier or late last year. Remember, I went to North Carolina to visit a sister that I hadn't met. I had done the DNA test. And it was that abandonment feeling that came on so powerfully while I'm looking at these pictures, unbidden. I had no clue that that was, you know, something that was going to come up for me. But looking at these pictures just reminded me about the hole I felt all my life where I did not have a father. I had a foster father, but it's not the same thing, right? And then to see all these people happy in these pictures. Now, I know their life wasn't exactly happy and my dad was quite the piece of work. Irregardless, it was that there's this hole and I felt it. And it was wonderful because suddenly I went, now I get what the card is all about. Now I get the message. And I was able to move through it almost like that. It did take me a little bit of time, but it didn't take me down for the day. It didn't make me cry. I didn't go into, you know, the oh, woe is me kind of energy. I started to go there. I started in a little bit with that victim energy and I just went, whoa, wait a minute. And then I was able to sit back and enjoy the pictures. So interesting little side note there to the card that we had yesterday. And I wonder how many other people may have experienced something like that yesterday in the face of that orphaned card, dealing with abandonment issues or dealing with the kinds of issues that we, you know, have been calling victim issues and so forth. So just a side note. So I also mentioned yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, I don't remember, but I was talking about this undercurrent that I've been feeling, right? That tapping into this thing I can't quite put my finger on. I can't quite wrap my head around this undercurrent. Well, as I was sitting here today getting ready to talk to you about the Human Design Week, boom, it came to me. And it is that there's this undercurrent I'm feeling of danger. I put a question mark after it. Danger? Or is it security and safety issues? An undercurrent of expectation? Question mark, like, you know, sort of what's, is there something coming? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be a, you know, a bad surprise kind of thing? Frustration. These are all undercurrents that I'm sensing that are behind the scenes. Not, you know, again, I haven't been able to verbalize this undercurrent that I've been feeling until this morning. The next word I got was excitement. Is there an anticipation of something really good coming or something, even though it may be transformational, but maybe it opens doorways, kind of that excitement? Is it hope or hopelessness? Just these things, these energies that are working behind the scenes. So as I was musing about these energies, I looked down at the astrology chart, which as I showed at the beginning of the show today, look at all my notes, right? I was very much note-taking this morning as things were coming to me. But I want you to look at these red lines right here. Who was it I was online with yesterday? And I could perfectly point to whatever it was I wanted to show them. But somehow on the morning show, I'm totally out of sync here. But notice these red lines right here that are going back and forth. Those red lines are squares. And the squares are between the planets Mars, Pluto, and the black moon Lilith in Capricorn, and Eris, Mercury, and Uranus in Aries. So they form a 90-degree angle with one another, which forces a challenge upon us, and it causes us to grow and evolve. So they're good things, but the energy itself is a little bit challenging. And I think that is where I'm pulling in this undercurrent, that while the sun is moving and other planets are moving around and creating, you know, our forward motion, these guys are providing the undercurrent, right? That undercurrent is being provided by that square between these, you know, 6 points. So anyway, it just, you know, to me, astrology is so fascinating because we can sometimes just exactly look at the stars and see how it's playing out on the planet. And now I'm beginning to see that human design affords us that same thing. So let's take a look at comments real quickly before I transition over to that. Roseanne says, hi, hello, good morning. Veva, thank you so much for my chart the other day. You are so welcome, Veva. I'm really glad you got it. I was wondering if you were able to tap in that day and hear it. If you have any questions, please feel free to message me and I'll be happy to do that. Libby says, good morning. Londa says, good morning. I think I already said good morning, Marlene. Good morning, Mimi, and everybody that I already talked to. So thank you so much for joining me this morning. Now let's transition a little bit over to human design. So the human design, where do I want to start? I know this is a more difficult, it's not necessarily difficult, but this is more, because this is a new type of astrology and you all aren't maybe as familiar with it as I am, or as you are with the other types of astrology, I feel like I have to give you more of a background picture of what's going on. So I'm going to show you a chart right now that's called a just now chart. It is, if you took a snapshot of someone who was being born right at this moment, this is what their human design chart would look like. Roseanne says, start with the good. Oh my gosh, she makes me laugh. It's all good, Roseanne. Even if it's danger, even if it's frustration, even if it's hopelessness, it is a good thing, right? It is leading us to something. Ooh, my hearing just went in my left ear. Ah, weird. So here is what a just now chart looks like. And by the way, you can get these charts on jovianarchive.com. And a just now chart shows us, like, if I was being born right this minute, this is what my chart would look like. But the reason I want to show you this is because there are 4 planets this week that are going to be highlighting 2 ends of the channel. So we suddenly have definition in 2 places that we might not normally have it. So for example, the sun and the earth are at gates 23 and 43, and that is connecting the ajna to the throat. So if you normally have an open ajna and an open throat, which I do today and for the next week, you have suddenly a defined ajna and a defined throat. And transiting planets do this with us all the time. And it can be a problem because no matter what is happening with the planets in transit, you're still designed to be who you were when you were born, right? So these are giving you access. For example, I now have access to knowingness and a defined throat. And if I were to use these energies incorrectly, then I could be messing with my human design. Now, also, for those of you who are projectors, reflectors, or manifestors who normally have an open sacral, right? This is the sacral center right here. Normally, in those 3 types, that is open, right? Because you don't have access to sustainable life force energy. But now, because we have a planet or 2 at gate 3 and a planet sitting at gate 60, that whole channel of transformation is connecting up the sacral to the root center. So if you have an open sacral and an open root, you suddenly have definition there because of planets that are transiting. This is temporary, right? This is only for the week. And it would be, and even maybe less if, well, no, it's going to be for the whole week. So it can be very tempting to work outside of your natural human design this week. So I want you all to tap into what these energies are bringing us, and I'm going to go into that, so that you have access to how it is that you're going to work with this when it begins to pop up into the into your awareness. I'm checking something here really quickly. This, I really like the way this chart looks, right? I like the way it's clean. It doesn't show us the unconscious, right? Note, these are only black lines, and that's because transiting planets don't have a conscious and an unconscious. They're in the now, right? So the now is consciousness in the moment. And so that's why we're just seeing the black lines and no red or striped ones. Okay. But now if we overlaid this onto your own chart, you may see it looking a little bit differently. So let's talk about what the gene keys and the gates mean with the sun sitting at gate 20 and the earth sitting at gate 43. So the gate 23 is called the gate of assimilation. In the gene keys, the lowest level energy, the shadow energy, is complexity. The gift is simplicity. And the highest expression of this gate energy is quintessence. And I find this one to be really interesting because the gate 23, I carry the gate 23 myself by birth. And a lot of the charts that of people that I do have that gate naturally. And it may just be my fractal, my human design fractal, that I attract people like that. But gate 23 has an innate gift of being able to break things down, breaking complex things down, and to make them more simple. Now, what do I do on a daily basis with you, right? I'm taking this really diverse, big sort of energies, and I'm breaking it down into little chewable pieces, bite-sized pieces, so that hopefully you get a better understanding of astrology or human design. So isn't it interesting, right, that that's what I do on a daily basis? Now, all of you have access to this ability to simplify for the week, right? To simplify. Yes, Roseanne's pointing out that she has this gate, but not only does she have this gate, she also has gate 43, I believe. So don't you have that whole channel, the whole channel of, we call it the freak to genius channel, but I'll get there in a minute. So let's look at the earth. The earth is sitting at gate 43. Now, gate 43 is the one that's up in the ajna, the second center down, and it's pointing down to the throat. And that is the gate of the lowest energy being deafness, the second, the gift energy being insight, and the highest expression of this gate is epiphany. So together, the two of these connect the ajna to the throat, and it causes breakthrough, right? It causes that aha, the being able to suddenly see things from a different viewpoint. And because it connects up to the throat, the immediate reaction that we have as humans is to want to speak it, right? We want to speak that. And unfortunately, the throat energy is like being a projector. It needs to be invited out of you. And so we're going to talk a little bit more in a minute about how that whole channel is going to play out. And let me break down parts again for you, because this is how I'm running through this. The parts in the human design first are the centers, right? The centers being the ajna involved in this one. Ajna is the green center, the throat being the brown center here. The ajna is the center for certainty. It is the center that we think of as the mind, right? It compares, contrasts, analyzes, and it has memory. It's the sort of data processing part that we really come to think of as our mind. And then the throat center, which is the third center down from the top, is the center that we think of as the gearbox, right? All of the energy in our chart, we need to get up to the throat or down from the head to the throat in order to be able to manifest and communicate. So that's the purpose of those two centers. When they're connected this way through the channel, the channel 4323, what you can really speak to is what you know. And sometimes what you know is coming in the form of an aha, a revelation, an epiphany, or a breakthrough. And often if we just speak from that place, we haven't even processed it properly in our minds yet. And it comes out in a way that no one understands. It comes out in a way where people are confused, or it's so unprocessed even in your own mind that you have trouble putting words to what it is that you want to say. So it helps in this particular week for us then, as we get in contact with our inner ahas or epiphanies, and these can be personal, these can be global. I mean, who knows? Whatever it is you're processing in your own world can suddenly break through, but try not to speak about it without the invitation to do it because you may have trouble being able to put words to it. Good morning, Gail from Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I bet you're a friend of Angie's, maybe, right? If I see Pennsylvania now, I know it's got to be Angie because that's where she lives. Angie Witzel, the young lady that we had on here last week who was talking to us about star seeds and getting star seed reports and astrology reports done, had mine yesterday. Awesome. Very interesting. I recommend going to her site, angiewitzel.com, to get your own star seed report. It is an awesome thing. So let me go back then to this gate, this channel connection that we have between the Ajna and the throat. She says, yes, ma'am. So she's definitely from Angie's group. Thank you. Welcome. We're glad to have you here this morning. So the gate 4323, or the channel, excuse me, 23 and 43 are very important for us to be able to transmit knowingness. Knowingness, if we ever talked about this before, where there are three ways in human design that we're shown that we can tap into knowledge. One way is logic. And I know we've talked about this before, but let me just review it real quickly. Logic is really just the recognition of patterns that repeat and our ability to predict what will happen based on the evidence that we've seen. So it's kind of scientific, it's kind of left-brained, and it is one of three ways that we have knowingness. In our world, we're highly conditioned toward logic, right? The scientific method, everything to do with science is about we have a thought and then we go and we try to prove it. And once we have proof, then it is a theory or hypothesis and we can take it and make it something that's true. The second way of knowing, though, for human beings is intuition. It is that gut instinct that in the moment there's something that we need to know, it comes through and we either take action on it or we don't. We either listen or we don't. The third way of knowing is just plain knowingness. It is, I don't know how I know what I know, I just know. And that is the most difficult one. I think in our world, if I said to you, I just have this intuition, I have this instinct, I have this gut feeling that this is going to happen or that I need to do this, it would be accepted. Maybe not as much as the scientific, I can prove that this is the way that this is going to happen. But intuition, I think, is, you know, the second one that would be the most easily accepted. Knowingness, however, is a completely different animal because it comes from God knows where. I don't know how I know what I know. I just know. And if you're trying to describe that to somebody and pass on this information, this aha that you've received about something or about the way something should work or about the reason why something is happening the way it's happening, you might get a couple of those, you know, weird looks from people as you're like, well, I don't know how I know this, but I just know this. But in human design, in our human template, it is at least as valid as either intuition or logic. So it's really interesting, right? So here we have this week, the whole of humanity, suddenly with this defined channel of knowingness, where we're receiving information. We don't know how it is we know what we know, but we know it. Interesting, right? Could make for some interesting conversations with people. That is why we have to really learn two key things this week. One is listening. Notice that gate 43 in the Ajna, its lowest energy is deafness. La, 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 la. I can't hear you, right? Or I'm listening to you, but I'm missing what the whole of the message might be because I maybe heard one or two words or a thought or two that made sense to me, and then I shut you off. So I didn't hear the whole context of the message that you're passing on to me, right? So we have to watch deafness, right? We have to watch how we listen to one another as this week comes up. It is listening, not just hearing, right? We can hear, you know, that wah, 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 wah. But we hear a couple of the words and then we nod off, right? Or we just get bored, as as Roseanne would say. this is the caution. Don't get bored, because there may be tidbits in the whole of the message that you're missing if you're not listening. The other end, the gate 23, as it sits on the throat, is about taking and really understanding when it is that I'm going to say something about what I'm hearing. If this might be a really good exercise in whether you have a defined throat or not, working with the energy of in waiting for the invitation to speak. And the way this works is, for example, I get this brilliant idea and I so want to share it with you, but I haven't quite got it set in my head. So I'm going to keep my lip zipped until I can actually put it into place. Or because out of my quietness, someone says to me, Janet, you're being awfully quiet. What are you thinking? Or what's going on in your head? Or what do you think about this? And I'm invited to speak from that place. The other option you do have in human design with the throat energy is to sort of tell people things like, you know, I have a really interesting way. I got a really great idea and I'm dying to share it with you. Are you guys open to hearing a revolutionary way of solving this problem? And if you get an affirmative from everybody, then you can, yes, share what your aha is, what your epiphany is. But the best way to work this energy this week is to listen deeply, and then speak when you have an invitation, right? Especially if you have this brilliant idea and you really want to pass it on to people, but they don't understand because it hasn't quite been placed in proper order yet in your mind. All of the parts are still jumbled, and you have to be able to put the breakthrough together, right? Sometimes you can see in your mind and understand with your mind what something means, but then the connection between the ajna and the throat is really an auditory channel. It takes words, it takes thoughts, it takes something going on up here in the mind and puts words to it. And there's sometimes a time lag in that. Right. Sometimes you have that brilliant thing that you are in receipt of, but then you have trouble putting words to it. And that is only time that can work that. So that is the key for us this week. There are times with this channel that we only hear what we want to hear. And if we only hear what we want to hear, then we may be missing a key piece of the information. Right? We may be so lost in our own thoughts based on what we think we're hearing from someone that we completely miss what it is that they're trying to communicate to us. So listening, big key to this week. As we look at some of the other energies at the gates this week, we have Mercury that is at gate 42 for only today, which is a gate of completion. So if we are in the middle of a project, we can maybe use some of the Mercury energy to bring it to completion, particularly if it's something about writing, if there's a message that you're trying to develop, if you're teaching something or learning something, maybe this is the last day of that, or in some way you're bringing things to completion. Tomorrow, it switches over to gate 3, which is that gate of chaos at the lowest expression, chaos, and in the highest expression, it is breakthrough. It is a transformation. It is, what's the word I'm looking for? Mutation, right? This is the gate that the planet Uranus is going to be sitting at, is almost at right now, is this gate of chaos on the lower levels and leading us up to the possibility of a mutation or evolution in consciousness as we move through this week. Now, sometimes I call this energy mutation. I call this energy, this is kind of craziness energy. By the way, if we go back to the human design chart, it is the connection that now suddenly brings us to a defined sacral and a defined root center. So this might be more difficult energy for those of you who are manifestors, projectors, and reflectors, because now you're going to suddenly want to take action, right? You're going to suddenly want to be, maybe you're moving through a major transformation in your life and you're feeling this energy gearing up, but you don't have an invitation to do anything yet. right? Because projectors and reflectors need the invitations. If you're a manifester and you suddenly have this energy, the only thing I would worry about for you is burnout, right? As you may jump into something and keep working it, even if you are already feeling your energy sort of waning or flagging from, you know, other projects you've been doing. So being very aware about what energy you're using this next week. Are you using your own energy? Are you moving into doing things that you are really not invited into? So this is like, for some of us, for some of you out there, this is us using our heads and our voices incorrectly. And then also using our energy of doing and stress energy incorrectly. So becoming doing, you know, kind of acting without thinking or thinking and then acting. So we want to be very conscious as this week rolls on as to how we're using our energy. If you're a projector, have you been invited to do this, to take action on this? If not, don't do it. Because what you're doing is dipping into energy that isn't your own. It's just from this transit that's occurring, right? Remember, Venus is at a money gate, and it means that we are maybe participating in retail therapy. If your mind says, I got to get out of here, I got to go shopping. And, you know, I had this budget of $50, but now I'm spending $200. You might want to rethink that, right? Because there's nothing at the other end. And the energy at gate 60, where we have Mars for quite a while, is the gate of limitation, right? This is where we have to focus in and we have to do things accordingly to what's proportional, right? Proportional. Limitation is meant to have us not only focus, but to stay within certain boundaries. God, I even hate that word boundaries. I hated that word when I was a kid. I hate it now. It's hard for me to do that. I have gate 60, a lot of places in my chart. So we may, as people right now, have kind of be, you know, chomping at the bit because we're being kind of brought in and, you know, to boundaries and we don't like it there, right? We don't necessarily like it there. But if we can do it, then we can see how it is that we can move forward dynamically in an appropriate way for our energies, for our types. Jupiter is still at gate one, the gate of self-expression. Remember the sun and the earth, or let's see, it was the earth that was there last week, this past week. And so we were dealing with a lot of this energy of self-expression, which is very masculine energy, wanting us to get out. And I'm going to say it. I'll say it in a minute, Londa. Thanks for the reminder. I'll put up what she said and then I'll tell you about that in a minute. The outer planets, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto are all in very interesting gates as it takes us from the energy of joy to mutation to doubt and then into awe and wonder, kind of seemingly, you know, hitting different gates that we that may cause us to move into our heads, you know, thinking through things and all that kind of stuff. So remember that we are under the influence of a lot of different energies. And this is going to be a really interesting week as we start to go through the process of this major change starting on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and into Wednesday of next week. And these energies are powerful. So I want to talk to you. See, I put up the message here that Londa says, tell us the freak to geek gate. It's not the freak to geek gate. It's the freak to genius channel. And I was kind of saving this for last because I really love this. This is from Karen Curry. She lovingly says that the 4323 is the freak to genius channel. And I want to explain that because when we talk about human design and we talk about my favorite book, The Gene Keys, right? The gene being the operative word here, keys. What it is taking us to is literally our DNA. And the root word for gene, or gene is the root word of the word genius, right? Gene and genius come from the same root word where the word genius is where we all, it's not about your IQ. It's about how we express ourselves in the world. And genius implies the more that you express the light through your DNA, the more you are expressing your personal genius. Does that make sense to people? I hope so, because it's really kind of interesting to think of it that way. The freak part comes in because the gate 43 is often seeing, hearing, getting in contact with, knowing energy that it has no understanding of where it comes from. It's like waking up. Well, I've had this experience in my life where I've shared this book experience with you where it walked around my house, did different things. I don't know. And then suddenly that book opened up this gateway of knowing astrology. Don't know how that happened. I don't know why. I just knew astrology. And you try going out in the world now and telling people that, right? That's really kind of a crazy thing. How do you know? Well, I don't know how I know. So in a way, it's that freaky getting knowledge that you don't normally have any access to, knowledge, not knowing where it came from, but now feeling like it has to get from here down through the throat to be expressed into the world. So we call that channel sometimes the freak, the idea that comes out of nowhere to genius, where when you express it correctly to the people in your world, you look like a genius, right? Because like, wow, that's a huge solution. That is a crazy way of solving this problem, but it works. It's like being able to turn things upside down on their heads, right? Or when we have a medical breakthrough and suddenly we can cure this disease, or we have this new thing that we can do that sees, like, technology is as huge freak to genius channel function, right? Where we get these breakthroughs where suddenly we can do something that we couldn't do before. And this is a very important energy, right? The freak to genius is huge and important. I usually think of Da Vinci. So if you think about, if you go backwards in time, Da Vinci lived, what is it, in the early 1500s, late 1400s. And literally that man was tapped into knowingness that I don't know where it came from, right? There, his drawings had pictures of things like helicopters, airplanes. He was in receipt of a lot of knowingness. And of course, it was dangerous in that time period. The kinds of things he knew, the genius he had, when it was expressed, was often met with, oh, he's a heretic. And a lot of scientists during that, you know, Enlightenment period were faced with the same thing, right? There were all of these brilliant ideas and ahas coming through, knowledge they didn't know necessarily. I mean, they were observing things, sure. But, you know, what this meant to them came in these big aha moments. And often they were shared without being invited to share. And then it became a real problem for them. So always waiting for the invitation to share your brilliance, then you're seen as a genius and not a freak, right? But I think we're all freaks. We all have this, right? We all have these freak to genius moments. And when we have those moments, they're meant to be shared, but not necessarily in the moment and not necessarily with the people you think you're meant to share them with, which is why you wait for the invitation. And the there's nothing more tempting. That's not the word I'm looking for. Enticing, maybe, than a person who's sitting there quietly, whom you haven't heard from. Like if you're normally a chatter, talker in a group, and now today you're quiet and people will look at you and think there's something wrong with you, but they invite you into the conversation because now they want to know, why is it you're so quiet? And then it's your jeweled opportunity to say, well, I have this brilliant idea that's come to me and I was just working it through and seeing how it fit with what we're working on today. And now I'm ready to share it with you if you want to hear. And of course they want to hear because they invited you into the conversation. So that's the kind of week we're looking at, right? You may come into some huge ahas that you want to share. If we take the gates of the sun and the earth individually, though, what you want to be doing is trying to find ways to simplify your life. Simplify and hearing. Simplify and listening. Really hearing. right? Those are the individual gates. You put them together and we have these brilliant ahas, these flashes of insight, revelations that we want to get out to the world. Let's see. Is there anything? Oh, I was going to tell you sometimes that channel, maybe I said it, the channel 4323, besides being the freak to genius channel, is sometimes thought of as the gate or the channel of not listening. Why? Because it gets so lost in its thoughts. It's got so lost in its own thinking and its own musing that it fails to really listen to when someone else is talking. So I had an experience of this last night. I was watching a TV show. I'm really into this show on Netflix right now called Cedar Cove. It's just so sweet. And it's so, it's life in its everyday. It's not violent and it's not ugly. It's real and it feels really, you know, good to watch it. But I was so into it. And my husband's across the room from me talking. And even though I turned and looked at him to hear what he was saying, I'm still tuned into the show and I didn't hear what he said. I literally three times had to pick up the remote and push pause, which was annoying, push pause so that I could hear what he was saying. So I could listen to what he was saying because I saw the words coming out of his mouth. I could hear them, but I wasn't listening to what he was saying. So I was missing the whole part of the conversation. Two things going wrong there, right? Not listening. I was watching a television show. My attention was elsewhere. And from his standpoint, he has a defined throat. He did not ask me if I wanted to hear what he was talking about. He did not invite me into the conversation. He did not invite me in to listen to him. If he has said to me, Janet, I want to talk to you about something that happened today, I would have picked up the remote gladly, pushed pause, and then entered into this conversation where I would have listened. But now I couldn't even tell you what he said. And Jennifer, if you're listening to this morning, don't tell your dad this. I have no idea. Why? Because I wasn't listening. I was hearing because I could hear words coming out of his mouth, but I couldn't tell you what the conversation was about. Couldn't tell you. Right. And unfortunately, this happens all the time. And we call it miscommunication. We call it miscommunication because communication begins with the listening. It begins in the ear, in the auditory circuit. And when the Terry's my husband's name. That was a slip. The auditory circuit, it has to connect up to the throat. And when it does, then we are appreciated and valued and heard and recognized for our contributions. When we have the situation that was happening to me last night, Londa saying her hubby did that to her last night. Yeah, it must have been a thing going on as we were preparing to move into this, you know, new channel. Yes. Oh, yes, Londa. Oh my God, we need more shows like that. Less violence. I love that show. I just love that show. It's based on a book series, apparently, by Debbie McComber, who is actually a writer that writes about being here in Washington. And I think a lot of the it was filmed in a place in Canada, but it was about Washington. So that caught my interest. But what really interests me, and I would probably rewatch this, is because it's about people and the real dynamics between people. And there's just no violence. And it's wonderful. Watch the show. It's called Cedar Cove on Netflix right now. Three seasons of it. Yay. So at any rate, it seems to be that we really need to connect our hearing and our listening before we can speak. So in that respect, then if you really want to be heard, if you don't want to be ignored or undervalued for your contribution, then wait for the invitation to speak, right? If you're trying to talk to somebody whose attention is elsewhere, get their attention first. See if they even want to engage in the conversation. Do they want to hear you first? And then you won't have that miscommunication popping up in your field. We might find ourselves over the next week saying, I know a lot. The people who have a lot of knowingness in their chart will, or knowing the knowing circuit in their chart will say, I know. And I want you to think about that because the moment that you say to somebody that's talking to you, I know, you've cut off the listening, right? You've cut off the listening in favor of what you think you know. And do you really know? You might know what you know, but do you know, did you hear what they know? So a lot of opportunities this week for us to get onto an interpersonal dynamic that is really about how we communicate. And just so you don't think I'm undervaluing the lower two connections, let me just speak to that for a moment as well, because that channel 360, which is the one that connects the sacral to the root center, is a very powerful channel. It's also one that's a little bit out of our hands, right? It's a little bit out of our hands. It literally connects up the genetic evolution, the expression of the evolution in our human design. So unlike the channel connecting the ajna to the throat, where we have complete control over how we use that energy, the bottom two are the only part that's in your control is about how you use your sacral energy. The thing that links it up, though, is almost, God help me, almost a predestined evolutionary impulse that's running through the human design, running through the template of us as humans. And, you know, I say humans, but it's literally an impulse that's running through all of life and all of the universe, this pulse, this 360. And when we have a planet like Uranus that's sitting there, you can expect the unexpected, right? You can expect some big things to be opening up, big gateways to be opening up. So again, a lot of that one out of our control. There's not much we can do about that particular channel. I think I can say this to you guys and you'll probably understand me. This is sort of the channel that turns on traits that have been hidden in our DNA. And for example, when you think of the young people that are here on the planet, and you guys have it too, if you're older people and you're listening, I don't mean that you don't have this. It's that at key times in our history, in our evolution as humans, genes get turned on, right? They get turned on, they mutate spontaneously even sometimes and create the potential for an evolutionary leap. That is what is happening. That is the potential for what's happening here. And it may be, you know, I remember back when there was the shooting in Parkland, Florida, I was really surprised, happily surprised, about how the young people in that high school stood up and used their voices and came together in their belief that guns are not creating a happy life for them in high school, right? They stated their case. That to me was something that when I was in high school, I can't imagine that we would have ever done, right? That we would have stood up like that, that we would have marched on Washington like that, that we would have been able to organize like that. Now, a lot of that was coming about because of social media and the way that we can all connect in moments, right? But another part of what's happening there is a genetic evolution that we're seeing, where the younger people have genes turned on already that we are having to turn on. I hope that makes sense. So we are kind of late to the party. If you're older, you're kind of late to the party. But the younger generation comes with new genes that are turned on. And at key moments in time, those genes get expressed. And those genes mutate and change and transform humanity or the world that we live in or the universe that we live in. And that is the high side, the potential of what is going on in this channel. Literally, there's not much you or I can do about it. We just go with that flow. It's like when computers burst into the scene, right? Laptops, home computers, they were everywhere. The younger people took to it like fish in water. And older people were like, oh, I don't know what to do with this. I'm a little nervous. You know, this looks like a typewriter, but there's all these other keys. And what's email? What's an inbox? How do I copy and paste? What does that mean? You know, all those things going back to the beginning. And yet because the activation is in all of our genetic codes, we could catch up. And I'm really kind of excited to see what will be activated in our genetic code here in the next few years. Now, gene, you know, a genetic leap, yes, but because some of the genetic leap is happening in the sign of Taurus, you know, the 60, gate 60 is in Taurus. Taurus energy has to be coaxed into change. It has, you know how sometimes you have to convince somebody, you have to make them think it's their idea for change. That's kind of how Taurus works in their lives. You kind of have to convince them that it's less energy to make the change than it is for them to stay where they are. And once you convince them, boom, they go with the flow. That's how genetic evolution works, right? Sometimes it has to be adaptable. It has to be a positive adaption for us to be able to undertake it. And that's, again, sometimes just not in our control, right? Well, we see what the evolution is leading us to, but we know it's there because we see change happening in the outer world. So yes, you can control your own energy and how much of your energy you're taking action on, what you're saying yes to, if you're being invited or not, if you're responding or not. But what you can't control is the evolutionary leap that's implied by the connection of that energy in the next week. Kind of interesting stuff. All right. Well, I am done for today. Thank you all for joining me. I love you all. Remember, tomorrow morning, I will be on a half an hour early at 7:30 a.m. Pacific time, 10:30 a.m. East Coast time, because I have to be out the door at 8:30 and I don't want you to miss the weekend report. So until tomorrow, all of you have a great day. Thanks so much for joining me. See you then. Bye. Hi, Ginger. Bye, Ginger.